I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
Hello, everybody. Round 10 is here. We've actually hit the double digits. And you know that, Ado, as yourself, when you make content and you change the dates, you go from a single digit to a double. We're now in round 10. Magic round is here, baby. You're going to be on a big one for the next, 3 days.
Yeah, I am. I was on Ticketek and I didn't secure a ticket and they were all sold out and I just kept refreshing and the only ones that are available like $500 tickets. So I'm sitting on the halfway line in the sixth row. So good luck to every poor motherfucker around me.
People that are there to actually watch footy, you're just at a fucking sick piss.
I'm going to be loose as a goose.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I definitely need to go. I think next year.
It's so fun, eh? Like, it's just, I mean, just the crowd full and there's lots of different, so we're a tribal game, but it's just such a great feel. So it feels like a festival, you know, like it's like Oktoberfest, but footy, it's fun. You go out to sort of the pubs and the titty bars after the game and there's all people in jerseys and stuff. It's rough if you take a change of shirt because it's rough going if your team gets risold and you try to go out afterwards because you'll cop it from everyone left, right, and center.
Yeah. The NRL Roast posted on Twitter today, like, if you were at Magic Round, what are your three lines? Lineups. And I got mine. I had the 2005 Tigers jersey, the classic orange with the black stripes. I had the Warriors 99 jersey with the green and the white collar. And then I had the Storm 99 retro jersey. So I think they're the three that I'll buy in my arsenal next year when I decide to go. But I'm sure you're just going to be repping different alternates of Raiders jerseys.
Well, no, I'm wearing the Raiders jersey on the Friday night. I've got my Better Beer one. I'll probably wear to one of the days. And I've got one of the Bloke Bar 2023 jerseys, if it gets here in time, because I ordered it a while ago. So those will probably be my three jerseys. Last year, I went in a jersey for every team that was on, apart from, you know, my game. I picked a team and went with them. But this year, those are my three jerseys. I think if I was going to go, I'd just go the ugliest jersey. So I'd probably go the tablecloth, you know.
The Warriors picnic rug.
Go the Knights high viz.
Oh yeah, I think if anyone's listening to, I think the Brisbane Broncos had like a sevens jersey back in like the late 90s. It was like a lime green. It was putrid as well. So that's definitely a few in there. But moving away from Magic Round, you'll be there. I'll be a spectator, unfortunately. But there's been a bit of news around the ground. Let's crack into it. First one's up. I feel lied to. Phil Gould. Max King's been named. I don't know what's going on here.
You and him are like on first name basis.
I know, we're best friends. I don't know. I'll have to slide into his DMs. But bro, like, if you were playing, look, it's fine. Look, I trade in for Hopgood, so I can't complain too much. And another one is Jacob Carraz. He is back a week early from his knee injury, which is really good to see. Really good for.
I wish they weren't back because they're playing the Raiders, so I would have liked both to be out personally.
Yes. Turbo in, Jerbo out. Trbojevic swap here. Now, the reports earlier today were Jerbo was going to be out for 2 weeks, but it's looking like four. So huge out for them. A certain Manly prop for me comes into consideration, but Turbo back is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. Hopefully the week off got his body like a little bit right. Like, I'd love if he could just run a little faster than a front rower. But I reckon that rounds like Magic Round are made for players like Tommy Turbo. So it's a big in, and I'm happy to have him in the run-on this week.
Yeah, there's a reason why I didn't tell him last week, and really good to see him back. For the Waz, CNK and Tohu are back. Now, Tohu was touch and go. Our good friend of the show.
I thought that CNK had to wait another week. He was 11 days stand down.
Yeah, I think they got some exemptions because he passed all the protocols and had a certain time off. I'm not the NRL physio. I don't know the ins and outs.
Sold him because I heard that it was the mandatory because it was Cat 1. So yeah. There they go.
Yeah, I understand. Look, it's frustrating. It's look, mate, you're in the CNK boat. I'm in the Max King boat. We're both led down astray with injury news. But Tohu's back. Good friend of the show, Anton Poster, posted about 9 o'clock this morning a quote from Andrew Webster saying he was about 60-40 to play. The knee's fine. It's just not 100%. But he has been named, which is fantastic. And yeah. We'll touch on his impact on someone like Adam Fanua Blake later on in the show as well. VTW, is it Valence Tavada? Look, he has been named on the extended bench, but there was reports going around Dolphins training today that, you know, everyone was yahooing, high-five and backstepping. Probably a little bit of mind games here from Bennett, not naming the young kid to start, but we'll bring him in. I would be surprised if he doesn't play just based off reports, which is huge because with round 13 coming up, the Dolphins are playing round 13, a 200K bottom dollar price rookie with, you know, all the hype in the world on him. Your good mate Supercoach Guns posted a bit of a comparison with him and Sifa Talakai. He's bigger than Talakai.
he looks a bloody unit and a half, and he'll be handy too because a lot of us. I mean, with teamless, we've got AE nightmares like Moali. If you've got Jules and we've got Schuster's in there, and Ben Murdoch-Wasilla's, and there's lots of people that we can downgrade. He'll be terrific if he does come in and. I look forward to seeing him run around.
Absolutely. Yeah, not even from a Supercoach standpoint. I think he is a really, really good prospect. There's a lot of raps on him, so keen to watch him play. People that got into the Rob Jennings trap had been sprung on them. With Tessie New back, Rob Jennings is gone. David Mawali is also gone. Apparently, he's injured for three, four weeks, so...
That's a godsend because he's a fucking AE.
Not too stressed if you're an owner. I did sell last week, so not too upset. On the injury front, Paul Momorowski with a shoulder dislocation. Time is unknown. Braden Hamlin-Ueli has done his medial. He is out for 4 weeks. AJ Brimson did his hamstring. No time frame on that, but it didn't look good. Eisenhuth and the Panthers did his shoulder. And Tommy Chester, the young Cowboys utility, his season has been confirmed today to be over, which is terrible because he was playing some good footy and coming into his own. So, yeah, it sucks for him. But that is the... that's sort of the breakdown today. Let's move into, normally it's the 10 things that we learned, but this week it'll just be the 5 because Ado and I did not communicate very well, but I'll give you my things that we learned from the week gone by. All right, Ado, number one on my list of things that we have learned, always have a plan B. Always have a plan B. Always have in your mind who your 18th and 19th man is because we saw last week, Cleary ended up playing, yes, but Tommy Turbo was ruled a late out. Sort of threw a few teams out of whack. Everyone was having to scramble. And last week was not the week to scramble because we were already, shallow on trip. So always having a plan
Matto
B.
Matto
was a late one too. Exactly. Yeah, with the flu. Struggle Street for that. I think this is a big one, Ado, because I'm seeing a lot of Cleary trader chat. It only hurts when a pod flops. When someone flops that everyone owns, it is not that big of a deal. Chill.
It's only going to matter to you last week if you captained him, which was probably ill-advised. Mm. I mean, look, it was a good matchup, wasn't it? But it goes back to what we said
the week before. If it looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, so unless it's Nicho Hynes. But, he's in and you've got to and Turbo's out and Matto's out. You've got to know what you're going to do. I sort of was forced to go with Jared Croker.
Filthy because I didn't bring in Croker in the end because I ended up with Max King being out for 4 weeks or whatever the fuck was supposed to be. I ended up moving my trades around and I was at work because I work on the weekends. My days off are Thursday, Friday. So I was working and I seen someone in my Discord message how good Croker is and I was like, oh, what's he done? Fucking try in the first minute. I was filthy, but he finished on like mid-60s, so not too bad, thankfully.
Still handy when you got no troops.
Oh, 100%. You take that every day of the week. It was good. It was good for owners. It was good for non-owners. It was that sort of middle ground where, we were sort of happy. Number three, with trades, leave your ego at the door. If you got it wrong, you've got it wrong. And move on from that. Don't dig your feet into the ground and you know, try and hold someone that's not performing. You'll see that with one of my trades, a certain Canterbury front row forward that we're deciding to move on that hasn't worked out.
You're so horny for him too. Oh, mate. I was like, you're bringing him straight in, you lunatic.
He got 53 in week one. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're right on here. Let's build from this. All right, we'll touch on him later on. Number four, until round 13, this captaincy is going to be very boring. I think just prepare yourself for that. You're not going to be making moves with your captaincy. If you're going to go against the hot hand of Nico Hines, and you're a very brave man, braver than me, however, I just think captaincy, there's not really a debate for the next month, is it?
Not particularly, and I'm going to be there live, and I've got a couple of players that I will not be watching run around without being in my team or having a VC / C on him. I will say just quietly with what he's got as a ceiling and the kind of, you know, Cleary's one of those, the chin loves a big event. So, I mean, last week I wouldn't have captained him, but this week I'm a little frightened of him. Not enough, though, to take it off Nico. Just like a cute and go, Nico.
2 years ago, 2021 Magic Round, the Penrith Panthers took on the Gold Coast Titans. Go have a look what Cleary scored. 220-odd. So he's done it at Magic Round before.
I reckon if you're lower than 15,000, I'd go Cleary.
Yeah, I mean, if you're chasing rank, then yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. And the last point, Parra topped the trade-ins, and rightly so. However, I would just be careful about loading up on five or six Parramatta players. I think three is your sweet spot, because go have a look at round 14. They do not feature. So absolutely, they cover 13, 16, and I think it's 19, whatever the other major buy is. They cover all three, which is fantastic. But they do also have round 14 out. So probably limit yourself to
five or six
three.
And you get an injury or a suspension or, you know, what, 11 days.
Oh, you're back to last week all over again. You're back to playing Ben Murdoch-Masilla as your second front row forward.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go to four this week, but I will not be putting another one in on top of that. And even then, I feel like, you know, because I'm going to hold them, obviously, because you are inclined to hold them because they've got another buy that they cover after that.
Oh, and guys like Matto and Dylan Brown, like I'm probably never going to trade them out anyway, so they're fine. It's guys like Hopgood and maybe Sean Lane if he hasn't found keeper status. I'm seeing some people bring in Will Pennacini, and that's fine. It's just I wouldn't be loading up, like you said, five or six. You know, they're all out the next week. You're then having to probably use a boost to take some out. And then if you have a HIA or a suspension or whatever, or resting after Origin. Like, let's not forget round 14 is after Origin. So, fuck, Cleary and Hines, you know, they're up there, potentially could both be rested. And then you could be staring down the barrel of eight or nine people out if you were loading up on Parramatta guys. So, and they're not the only ones with the buy either. There is a few, so let's quickly run through those actually while I've got it on topic. So round 13, obviously you can go have a look, but round 14, there's going to be three teams out with the bye. It's going to be Parramatta, Newcastle and Manly. So straight away, your Parramatta assets, you've loaded up on for Origin. You've got Turbo out. You're going to have Lachie Miller out. I'm sure people are going to be holding him through because he plays round 13. So yeah, I mean, like, you just got to be really careful because otherwise you're done. And then, you know, in round 17, you're going to have the Sharks, Tigers and Bulldogs out. So there's no Nico, there's no Teague Wilton, there's no Ronaldo Mulitalo. So yeah, I mean, it's all well and good to cover these major buys, but just limit your damage for the week after. That's all I can say. Yeah,
well, that's right. And look at it as a max number, like in that 14, you know, if you're carrying a Lachie Miller, a Turbo, you know, and a Marju along with, you know, you're loading up on you probably can't go more than two or three Parramatta Eels. And look, I've got one Manly player, no Newcastle players, but that's still five for me. And unless I sell Turbo over the Origin period. So yeah, you really got to think about it because last week was hell and it could be even worse.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. Yeah, absolutely look at your major buy numbers. Make sure you've probably got 14 guys because then one of them can drop out for your top 13. But also have a look for the rounds after when the teams have three buys. Sorry, when there's three teams that have buys. Maybe just have a look at your squad numbers there as well and work out a rough idea. Ado and I were talking today. I'm probably going to be looking at 15 players for round 13 and that will give me two to drop out, which will probably be guys like Ben Murdoch-Masilla and Jake Granville. However, yeah, you need to look at the rounds afterwards as well because, yeah, we can all manage one team on the bye, but when you've got half the comp out in 1 week and then three teams in the next, that's, you know, you're going to have a little bit of planning. So that is the five things that we have learnt from the week gone by. Let's touch into buy holes and sells. And as we said, Ado, before, Parramatta topped the buy list. They also top, you know, the list here as well. Dylan Brown, you know, he's slowly coming to his own. People rave about Cody Walker and how good he's been. Dylan Brown was the Supercoach 5'8 for the first five rounds, and then he's now only, I think, 20 points behind Cody Walker. We know Dylan Brown's floor. He just gets 60s for fun. We've seen Cody Walker put on a try assist, and line break assist, and just get 60. So,
yep, he's got two tons now, and that's what you need. You need a couple of tons from deal bags, and he'll get your 60s outside of that. None of what you see from him, usually you go, oh, that's me this week.
You're never sitting there in the 70th minute going, fuck, Dylan Brown, do something. Like, he's always on 45, 50. But what was really impressive for me is Coach Brad Arthur basically publicly called him out to run more and to deliver and be the Dylan Brown that we know. And at first instance, you know, put on a masterclass of really good running performance. So that was, you know, really impressive for me to see. Jermaine Hopgood is also a buy. I understand this bench is absolutely putrid. It's not great. However, I'm sure people are carrying worse 2RFs. I think he'll be fine over the Origin period. We saw him. Yeah, I brought him back in, I guess, for people that don't follow my socials and only listen to this podcast. Hopgood was never really a consideration for me. I was, to be fair, we did say on the podcast I'd be looking at him in weeks to come, but with Maddo out, I jumped all over him, so I was happy with his performance. And I still think he's an okay buy. Probably not the slam dunk purchase that he was before Teamless Tuesday with Andrew Davey. Weird. Mm. Just coming back into the side, Bryce Cartwright on the bench. They still have hands on
Maddo
the bench.
Maddo on the bench.
Yeah, Maddo on the bench. I'm not worried about Maddo on the bench. I still think Maddo eats. I mean, he ate last year, and I think he'll do it again.
Yeah. Look, I think you're not going to get 70 minutes most probably from Hopgood, but if he gets 55, 60, he's going to score you 60. And if he gets, because he's busy when he's out there, you just don't want him to get 50.
Yeah.
You want him to get 60, 65 if you're lucky. I think they're pretty stacked. I don't know if he's going to go off to Origin this year. Maybe next year for him.
Maybe. One man that probably won't go off to Origin and luckily not to be in jail is Jack DeBellin. And look, I understand if you play Supercoach and you have morals, don't pick him. That's fine. I don't have morals. I don't give a fuck who you are. If Jared Hayne was in the comp next year, I'd buy him anyway. I don't give a shit. But Jack DeBellin.
This... I'll safely say that Jared's not going to be in the comp next year.
He might be in the Long Bay, the Long Bay 13, mate. Jack DeBellin, another one that sort of suffered from a little bit of a weird Teamless Tuesday. Jack Bird's been moved back to lock with Jack DeBellin at prop. I mean, prop and 13, it's much of a muchness. I was all in on Jack DeBellin. I was all in on him.
I'm a tiny little bit less, just because there's a bit more ball play, and he was doing a bit of ball play because he's a pretty talented player, actually, DeBellin.
I think he's always
had a bit of ball play in him. I think Jack Bird is going to do that.
I think he's one of the most underrated players in the comp, and people just don't want to admit it because of the bloke he is, and I understand that, but...
Yeah, I mean, if he's, Hook, we're in lunatic territory with him.
Yeah, Lomax got dropped. I didn't mention that in the team because no one owns Lomax, but I mean, he got dropped. He just got hooked for the other Fiege brother. So,
yeah, it's crazy times over there at the Dragons. I'm tipping the Tigers to win.
I am also tipping the Tigers to win.
I tipped them last week. That was the only.
Did you actually tip them?
I got in my crystal balls. I got everything right. One thing I got right was the Tigers over the.
I didn't have the balls to the Tigers, but I did definitely post all over Twitter that they were plus 18.5 underdogs, and I thought that was just way too much.
I reckon the Tigers. Oh, but we'll get to that when we bloody talk.
We will. But Jack DeBellin, look, if I was at 100%, I'm probably more at like 75% now. I still think he's a fine buy-in, but I'm not sold on him at prop rather than at 13.
There's a certain red-headed mofo. Well, he's.
There's also another Polynesian boy on the northern beaches as well that I'm probably looking at as well, and we'll touch on them soon. You mentioned the redheaded boy. Do you think he's a chance for Origin?
I think their depth is probably a bit too big for him this year. I reckon the people that I'm expecting that are going to come in is going to be Gilbert, I reckon. I think there's going to be a few sort of going over that. For that role,
yeah.
You know, I think they're just stacked.
Hopgood's another one that could be in there as well.
Yeah, Nanai is out. They've got a lot of options too, and it's just there's going to be an element of risk, I guess, how the chips all land. I think because they're the last winners, they're probably going to try to keep it as close, I reckon, to what won it last year.
Yeah.
Slater seems like that kind of guy, but no, I don't reckon Horsburgh's going to get off. So he's played 70 minutes 3 weeks in a row.
Well, that's the thing. So let's talk him, because if he played for any other team, I don't think we have this debate, but it's fucking Ricky. It's tough to trust him, isn't it?
Well, look, CHN's out, so that's probably good.
How long is he out for?
Well, I mean, he's been dropped.
He's been dropped. I haven't really been following, so it's just been cold drop.
I think he can get Horsburgh in this week, feeling confident after 3 weeks in a row that he's playing 70. I mean, he's having a ripping year, let's be honest.
Yeah, he's playing really good.
I think he's going to play 70. He's going to be there for the first bye. He's got a handy duel. The price is pretty reachable. But like you said, I don't mind DeBellin. I would have loved if DeBellin was at 13.
Absolutely.
There's a chance that they just pop a ball and it gets someone through a line break or something, you know?
Well, let's quickly talk the three, because I'm stuck between JDB, Corey Horsburgh, and Taniela Paseka. Now, no Gerbo, Sipley suspended for a month. I think Paseka, you know, I don't think he plays 80 minutes like Gerbo was, but he has shown instances of playing 60, and he does have probably a better PPM than the two of those guys. It just comes down to minutes, but he also is very boring. I don't think you'll ever see him put over a 65. So it's a case of how you want to play it, and I am probably now leaning towards Horsburgh and Paseka. So that's probably where I'm lining. It's just with Ricky.
I had a little sneaky eye on Naz as well, but I'm not going to really do anything in the front row personally. But
I've made so many front row forward trades, it's fucked.
Yeah, I think they're all fair options, to be quite honest. And you just take your pick which one you'd like to go.
Absolutely. And then the last buy, I've got a few question marks on this because I've never been a huge fan of going cheap at fullback, but there hasn't really been too many options this year that have really stood out in that elite category. And it's Jareem the Dream Buller. Now, one of the best fullbacks in terms of base. I think he's averaging 38 points in base across the two games. Very small sample size, I do say. However,
but he looks likely as...
He does. He looks terrific. Really good. And I can't wait for the Roosters to fucking poach him in two years. I'm just going to kill myself. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't joke about that. I made a joke on Twitter. Sorry, I have very dark humor. I do apologize. I made that joke and everyone ripped me for it. So I do apologize. Buller. What do we think?
People are selling a Walsh up against the 150 and banking 500K from Buller, who looks like he's going to go up nicely in price. He looks like he's probably going to score as well as we see for Reece. But look, Reece probably has a decent matchup this week, I think, with all the players out for the Manly Seagulls to maybe score well. But
you're right.
500K on a trade. But you and I both are purist in the sense that we don't like going a bottom price fullback only cheapy.
He's also playing for the fucking Tigers. If he was playing for if Tedesco went down and he was playing for the Roosters, yeah, I can get around it. But it's the Tigers, man. Come on. So the top three trades this week are Buller to Walsh, Buller to Turbo, which I think is fucking insane, and Buller to River to Buller. Look, we will talk about ourselves, and I can understand the Reece Walsh sell because of the draw that's coming up and the fact that he's most likely going to be playing Origin. Billy Slater has pretty much all but confirmed that. Selling
him. Ponga was. I mean, what's worse than dog shit?
Xavier Savage.
Oh, get it. He's back in on the wing. They'll probably get injured this week. I mean, I thought that Hopper is getting better every week. So, I mean, look, they had to squeeze Savage in somewhere. But, we'll see how he goes.
Yeah, look, I can understand selling for Walsh because that gives you 500K to, you know, upgrade a BMM to whoever. I can't understand selling for Turbo. I just can't.
No, I wouldn't do it for Turbo because this kind of round is made for Turbo, and he's had a week off, so hopefully he's a little bit better in body. If you had Taruva, there's a lot of people carrying a Miller or whatever, and they can move them up into the centers. If you've got a gun or whether it's Latrell or Turbo or one of these others, and you've got not one of those elite ones, because I still consider Turbo to be there. If I had a Turbo or Teddy, a Trell, I'd probably keep those guys in there. But if I had a smaller piece, like a Taruva and that, I would go for it and just bank the bulk cash because I think he looks good to me. And, you know, maybe you don't play him. Maybe I would play him this week because it's not the hardest matchup in the world. He looks bloody good. So, yeah, I don't sacrifice a great piece. And people are debating whether Turbo is a great piece because he's been so injured. But it just reeks of getting burnt like a mofo.
Yeah, when the chips are down, I'm not going to back against the champion. When the chips were down against Latrell, go have a look.
When someone like Gal says, pull your head in, Turbo, you're going to lose your spot to Graham.
Mate, I think Turbo's in for a ripper.
Someone passed that on to Tommy.
Just off the run sheet, in the live chat, someone's posted, how are we going to get Pappenhausen? And I wanted to bring up Pappenhausen because he did have some comments on the Matty John show this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't played this year.
Yeah, I mean, the chat from him is not
doesn't sound doesn't
at all,
sound good.
No, I mean, we see footage of him running, and so obviously the rehab has got him to that point. But You hear from him. And look, I think probably for the longevity and what this is like a building year for Melbourne, I reckon.
Yeah.
With, you know, some of the names that they lost and stuff. And I think that someone like Meany is really not surprised me, because I thought he was a really serviceable player, but he's almost been their best player.
But and yeah, he's gone. He's just gone.
Done a Hines again, but not quite as elite as Hines, but yeah. He's not far off. He's been terrific.
He's gone from being like a really serviceable role player to being like, you know what, if Pappenhausen retired, we're fine.
Yeah.
Meany's
probably popped a couple of hundred thousand, I reckon, on his next contract, whether that's, you know, a Melbourne Storm or someone picks him up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he could play fullback really, really well.
Hey, the Bulldogs could use a fullback and they let him go, but...
Oh, they got Stephen Crichton next year.
But yeah, look, Pappenhausen, what are we in? We're in round 10. We're in round 10. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like round 22, round 23 at the episode earliest, so another 3 months away.
Maybe in the first week of finals or something, you know.
Oh, no. What we want him to come back round 20 and play 15 minutes off the bench and average about 19.
Yeah.
And then we buy him for bottom dollar next year.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Okay, so into the holds. On the holds, we've already touched him. Turbo's being way oversold, I think. I don't know. People just overreacting. I mean, if Turbo scores 50 points for the next 6 weeks, he doesn't lose any money. He just holds ground. And that's 50 for Turbo. I mean, come on.
I mean, look, he looks like he's friggin' busted. It looks like it's hammies. It looks like a back. It looks like it's everything. Like, he doesn't look like he can. I mean, I don't even. I'm tipping him to rule himself out of Origin.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad shout. With Crichton playing the way as good as he is, Campbell Graham's all but locked into a spot in this back line. There's still talk of Suali'i playing. Yeah, I think New South Wales have got some options. And as a Queenslander, I'd be very happy to see him rule himself out.
Well, me too. I'm a New South Wales player, but I would too, because I think he's fucking lame. But I'm not selling him.
But in Supercoach, I mean, until we get the word from NRL Physio that says he's out for the season... I know that on the Magic Sponge podcast, Physio was like, look, it's just niggling injuries that I want to get off. I just can't.
I dare you to sell Turbo this way.
I can't, man. I just.
Not you. Everyone out there. Yeah.
I can't. Or hopefully what happens is I put out, once again, a really smug tweet of everyone's ownership. And you know how like I post, this many people have traded him. I want to do one of those for Turbo when he goes for 140 and I end up looping him.
He's going to be in my crystal balls this week. And I want to say, Turbo... doubles, and I'll put other fullbacks in there. And everyone's going, Pooler.
Another one, man. Another one. Nathan Cleary. I just think this is even crazier. People are selling Cleary. I just don't get it. It's not like this year that you need to field a team. You don't need to field a proper squad this year. You just need to field 13 people. And if that means you've got Hines and Cleary, then you're fine. Like, don't sell him.
Yeah, for me, I brought Walsh in for Teddy a long while ago, and I never saw him as a season-long keeper, but my aim is to hold Turbo until there's a reason that I'm not. Like, he's ruled out for the whole season, and I'm going to upgrade to my final running fullback. I'm playing fullback roulette, and I think Gutho's got a nice draw upcoming, but I'm going to probably go off Gutho as well to my finishing fullback. But in the halfback position, people are going to Moses this week because he top scored last week. Not the worst, obviously, because he's got Origin upcoming. But how scared are you going to? I'm not sitting in the crowd at Magic Round watching Nathan Cleary or Turbo
after the media have just fucking bathed Penrith about they're done, the dynasty's over. No, I'm not betting against that. I'm playing the narrative.
Look, they lost last week to the West Tigers, and that's respond, guys. Week, I think they're going to come out this week, I think, and put on a exhibition
clinic. I've also got Josh Schuster here, and the only reason I've got him here is he's not losing money. However, if you are trading a Walsh to a Buller, and you're going, you know, Schuster to anyone, then I can understand that. However, yeah, I think he's a fine hold. I'm not stressed on Schuster.
No, well, I've got increasing bloody red dots because I've got Couchman, who I think was doing serviceable, was making money.
Hook Griffin swings the axe.
I've got Moali, I've got Ben Murdoch, Basila, I've got Schuster, I've got Willie Army. So, I mean, I'm hoping Willie Army comes back in. I'm hoping Schuster comes back in. I'm not going to move them because common sense says they're going to come back in. So, yeah, I'm not going to move him. I'm going to hold him. And hopefully he just comes back and tries to make a statement to prove all the doubters wrong, eh?
Mate, remember how Cooper Johns was braining it in the trials and everyone was like, oh, but if Cooper Johns like played himself into a spot, is he an option? Fuck, I wish I had more.
Yeah. I mean, we were hearing all this chat from Schuster. He had a great off season. I know
he lost a heap of weight.
Yeah.
Locked in.
I was absolutely shocked he's on $800,000 a year.
I don't think he's
like Luke Brooks kind of robbery.
Luke Brooks, Dally M half of the year, also got more competition points than Nathan Cleary. Yeah. Like,
Luke Brooks, Dally M half of the year is like White and winning the Dally M.
Hey, Luke Brooks has got more competition points last week than Cleary has in the last fortnight, mate. So, put some respect on the name. However, yeah, I don't think Schuster trained the house down as reported. Shock horror, player doesn't train the house down.
Well, they're in also getting punch-ons as well. If it's a Madison, they're beautiful people.
Could you imagine if Schuster stepped on Peyton Haas's shoes?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think he'd get
it. Oh, mate, it'd be on for young and old. And the last hole I've got is Tyrell Sloan. Go have a look at Tyrell Sloan's. It's under 20 or over 60. None in between. So if he can get 21 points, then you know you're in for a very smooth sail. However, I think people bought him on the back of the minus 60 break-even or whatever it was. I think his break-even is still relatively low. Dragons play around 13. I think at this stage you just ride him through, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe you don't necessarily play him because he is that rocks or diamonds sort of one. I think he's still not done. I mean, we learned that from Cam Pereira. You know, it was sometimes we were getting burnt where we thought we could play him. And so maybe you get to that point where you say, well, I'm not going to play Sloan, but he still has some money to make. And I reckon he's gone pretty good. Every second game, like he's gone okay.
Yeah.
The matchup's not the worst this week. So you could even technically play him if you're light on. I wouldn't sell him.
I've also got one final sell. And it is Reece Walsh. Now, a lot of people are going, "Why you're holding Turbo, but you're selling Walsh?" Yeah. Reece Walsh has Manly, Melbourne, Penrith. Then he has a game in round 13. I am pretty confident he doesn't play it. I think he goes to Origin. And then he comes back and backs up against the Sharks. And he's also staring down the barrel of 150 break-even this week. I never saw him as a season-long keeper. You didn't either. I think you cut your losses there. Yeah, look, he's had two pretty poor weeks. You haven't lost a bunch of cash from his peak high. Just take your licks and move off.
Here's the thing. I think in this matchup it's a good matchup for him this week with Haas in. I think that Manly are going to get dominated up the middle. I think Reece Walsh will be on the back of that. And I'm tipping him for a ton this week. He's still going to miss his break even. And like you said, I think what we're seeing from Ponga, I think Walsh might be off to Origin. So you're not going to get the round 13. He will still leak money. And in the case of me going to Gutho, I'm just pumping up those buys. I'm pumping up my buys. Gutho's got the nice low break even, so I want to move now and do the flip. And I even see Gutho doing pretty well and maybe tanning up this week as well. So if you're going to hold Reece, I reckon he'll still score well in this matchup. The other matchups I'm a little worried about.
Well, that's the thing. If he scores 100, fair play to you. Then you've got to stare in the barrel of a Melbourne Penrith by Sharks rotation, and that's not ideal.
It's a one-week play if you grab him this week, and that one-week play is kind of low percentage because he's up against the 150. So if it's not about the money for you, and look, sometimes Supercoach is about points. So, I can see why people would hold him and say, I think that the Broncos are going to towel up the Manly Seagulls this week. And you think that Walsh, Walsh is like, I put him in the same category as Cleary and Turbo. He's a showman. Mm. So I reckon this full stadium, those beautiful eyes and eyebrows of his, I reckon he might have a big game. But like I said, I think that's short-sighted and you've got to pull the trigger now if you want someone like a Gutho. People are just doing it down to Buller. I don't know. I think maybe I just hold Walsh, and play him for the 100 points this week.
I think what the concerning thing is, I'm not too sure if it's a good coach team or just a really good quality team, but he didn't get a sniff last week at all. South just fucking jammed him. Every time he got the ball, they just jammed him. Absolutely. Look, that they left the wings open, yeah, but Walsh had no time to get the ball out, and he just got absolutely resold. So that is one thing that I am concerned about. A little new segment. It's probably a one-off, but my fade of the week is Coley Lemu-Lemu. Now, I know a lot of people looks like they're bringing him in, and yeah, I mean, cool. Let's just have a look at him because he scored, you know, 100-plus last week, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But he's 522K 80. He was a great buy back in round four when he was 360K. That's his first score over 60 since round three.
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of comparing him to probably to people like Jack Bird. And just for you people out there, Jack Bird scores better in the 13 than he does in the second row. So I probably preference him. But look, he's been, I reckon, on him, I reckon when he was way cheaper, it was great super coaching to grab him because he's made a good, I think he's made 200K.
Oh, great buy back then. Absolutely great buy, but not now.
Yeah. Not now. Not for me. If you're grabbing players for around 13, I think there's a hell of a lot of players that are better choices because sometimes, like you said, you've got to accept when you make a mistake. Sometimes you have to admit where you missed the boat on when it was to trade them. They just got too expensive for you. Like I grabbed Garrick when he bottoms out. I grabbed AJ last week and he was fucking dog shit, but I grabbed him because I wanted to get him when he bottoms out and now hopefully he goes up in price and others didn't get him in time. That's what happens. And I think with old mate there from the Dolphins, when he was 200, was he 200?
360 was when he was named to start. I think he was a great buy then.
So he's been a terrific buy for people who jumped on him. Well done.
One more fade of the week. This might be a little bit spicy. Adam Fanua Blake.
Yeah.
I just think with the really short turnaround, Tohu Harris back. Oh, I just think people are paying top dollar for a guy who might regress back to mid-50s, 60 points.
Yeah, he was also a terrific... Because I know I was up in a head-to-head with Savs from the Supercoach.
When he bought him, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He showed nothing.
He put Fanua Blake and he scored a try and scored fucking 80, and then he keeps scoring and doing... when he got him back then for 400, I went Gilbert, and it was a terrific buy, and some of these smart, bloody super coaches, but again, like...
Not you and me. We're not smart super coaches.
Like the one we... Well, you know... I mean, 9,000th, I'll get there. But look, he was a good purchase when he was cheaper. Not now, because I can't see him maintaining now if Tohu stays fit. But he's been on a rip. He's been ripping and tearing.
Oh, mate, last 2 weeks have been sensational. I
think you got Niokore. Once they're all back, and I think, you know, with the minutes share there, he can't get more minutes. He can't get the same minutes.
Yeah, I just...
plays big minutes.
I just worry because I'm not keen on him this week with a short turnaround. Might be fine next week, then round 12 bye. So it's like you're getting one good game out of him before the Origin. But in my opinion, I mean, if he comes out and kills it, so be it. But I just think short turnaround with Tohu back.
Yeah, I reckon they're going to get rolled too. Oof. So,
oof. Hey, let's talk about the coach. The weekly recap. There we go. I need to get more sound bites. I finished up with a decent 1180. Could have been more. Played TPJ, played Taruva, played Val, you know, a couple of scores under 20, but had the likes of Dylan Brown, Jermaine Hopgood, Nico Hines. I had one more 100 in there as well. David Fifita. David Fifita also got a ton. So 1,080 for me, and that halved my rank. I'm now into 3,053, which gives me a total overall score of 10,225. You still had a good week. I know you had... You know, a few issues. I mean, anything over 1,000, I feel like last week was, you know, decent.
Oh. I mean, look, on the plus side, I only lost two ranks. I had two red arrows of two, but I finished on 1,052. Matto really killed me. I think it would have been 1,100 if I'd have got him. I was like either hundreds or friggin' 20s and 30s last week. I brought in AJ and I brought in Tuppany. So while Ricky's...
AJ as in Alex Johnson, not AJ Brimson.
Yeah, Alex Johnston, and watching...
Mate, sorry to cut you off. He looked fucking frustrating because he had the line open like two or three times and just dropped it cold, which is so un-AJ-like.
Oh, so last week for me, I've got AJ with a 29. I got Reece Walsh with a 23. I got Moali's 12 as an AE. I got 22 because I had to play Sonny Luke. I got a 26 from Val Holmes who'd tunned up the week before. Garrick for a 35. But it was offset with some ripping scores from Dillbags, Hines, David Fifita, you know, and even someone like, you know, Jared Croker was good, you know, for a 69 as an emergency play. So, like you, I don't really get easily panicked in Supercoach because it's a long game. And I really am starting to feel a little shitty at myself that I'm not getting in. Like, you halved your rank last week. I want to halve rank one.
Mate,
I want to go up a good few thousand ranks.
Mate, I'm in 3,000th and you're 160 points behind me.
I want a good week to happen. So
I think you'll excel. You know, rounds 13 to 19. I think that's where you'll make up rounds.
And that's my sort of plan. If I can get to 5,000th by the time it hits round 13, hopefully I see some good rank jumps. And I'm not going to do crazy things now. I'm going to stay on the course and the plan that I had. So I'm not going to do crazy captains, and I'm not going to trade players that I don't think are disposable in my team. So my plan is still working the way I want. It's just not getting me the jumps that I need. And hey, if you scraped out a last week and you didn't lose 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 spots, you just got to count that as a win. Lost two. So.
We said it 2 or 3 weeks ago. If you have a bad week and you lose and you hold ground, that's a win in my book.
Yep, I agree.
Let's move into Your Take, Not Mine. Your Take, Not Mine, the weekly segment where Ado and I review your hot takes from the week gone by. And for the first time in 9 rounds, one of you's got one right. Woo!
Well done. Oh, well done.
Finally. And that was Jacob S. with Gutho outscores Reece Walsh. And that was a big, big tick there from him, Jacob. So well done, mate. Isaac said Turbo under 50. Sure, by default, he didn't end up playing, but we'll call that a neutral. And Moz said Garrick 80+, despite being at center. That's a big fat no.
I'll be cooler back this week, but thank fucking Garrick's back to the wing.
Yep. So the ones this week, we've got Buffarded with TPJ to outscore JDB, but not AFB. I think this is a shot. This has to be a shot at me because I'm trading out TPJ. But there's a lot of abbreviations there. So let's break it down. Jack DeBellin. Sorry, Tevita Pangai Jr. to outscore Jack DeBellin, but not outscore AFB. So he's got Fanil Blake at the top, TPJ in the middle with Jack DeBellin. A lot of moving parts there, my friend, and it feels like a shot at my trades.
Yeah, I think out of those ones there, I'm going to tip JDB to be the top scorer on that matchup. I think Tevita's probably going to score okay this week. He started there at the Raiders, didn't he, for a couple of games. So,
did he?
But look. Yeah, I think so.
Fuck, really?
Back in the day.
Weird. Hey, remember when you played for the Panthers for like five minutes?
Yeah. So look, I mean, I don't know. I've got no dog in that, so I don't care.
No, I do have many dogs in that, so I'll be watching that one closely. Kato Niestag says, Turbo to go 100+ and prove all the doubters wrong, my man. I hope we make this 2 correct guesses because as much as we're here to, you know, help the broader Supercoach community, we also do have our own teams. We also are trying to compete 50K ourselves. And I'm going to be very, very petty and very, very annoying to follow on social media if Turbo does turn up, because I just think you're asking for trouble by selling him.
Yeah, there's players that you sell because just when it's... And I mean, look, there was always that potential with Teddy as well. I really hope the people that have held Teddy, you know, through all of this saying pedigree, pedigree, pedigree. I think this matchup's a good one for him this week.
Oh, and I think I'm the new president of the anti Teddy club or the Fraudesco, the Fraudesco club as I call it.
Well, so, you know, that's the thing. Onod and I just know it because if the world fucking hates me, if there's someone up there, he's like, oh, you want to sell Cleary Ado. Well, he's going to go and break the Supercoach record, even though it's not Volandi's ball. It's just going to happen. And Tommy Turbo is a guy who I reckon he takes a lot of pride in his performance, and there's little whispers about it. So I could not get around selling him, and I reckon he's going to – I mean, if his body's up to it, I reckon he'll – and look, Gerbo's out of the team as well, so I think Tommy Turbo's going to really
– Burbo's out of the team, mate. We're facing the barrel of no Urbos, so we need to – he needs to hold the flag for the Urbos. The last one is Lachlan Byrne. Tedesco to go 120 and show that he is still him. I want to quickly, while you give me your thoughts on that, let's play a little bit of a quiz. Let's play a Supercoach Whisperer game show. Sebastian Chris, Scott Drinkwater, and Hayes Perham. What do all three of those men have in common, Mr. Saurus?
Well, you asked me, and I said they're all averaging more than Teddy.
How fucking sad is that? We are 10 rounds into the competition.
Yeah.
Sebastian Chris.
Sebastian Chris. Hey, he's Perham.
Oh, mate. And Scott Drinkwater, including his like fucking score of like, what, two? Mm. Like, come on, man. Like, Teddy is... Like, if he comes out and scores 100 this week, cool. He's still not him. Like, I just think he's washed. He's done as an elite option, as like a guy that you pay 750k for. I mean, he's not lost nearly 300k this year.
Yeah, that's the thing too. I don't think Teddy is lost as a footballer. He does.
Oh, absolutely not. Mate, if I wake up and the Tigers sign him, I'd do backflips. But for
yeah, that's
coach.
Right. Anyone would still have Teddy in their team. He'll still be their captain of the New South Wales and Australian team. You'd probably happily trade nearly everyone in your team, and I still have him as the number one fullback in the game, just on durability.
Yep, I also agree. He
plays more games. So look, that's not a dog on Teddy.
Yeah, you've got to separate
those Roosters
coach.
Fans are bloody nasty.
I learned that the hard way.
I just reckon for Supercoach, he's not getting as many tries,
assists,
and assists. So I just think he might just fall back into the pack. But this year's actually been hard as well because Turbo's been underperforming. People have had to get cute with like Lockie, you know, Millers and Walsh's. Walsh, we said, has such a low floor, and now we're starting to see it a little bit. But at the time, I think we're just going to grab these guys on runs. And this year, it's going to be a real weird one. Who is our? You got Luttrell, isn't it? He's the top averaging.
Luttrell is, and then it's Gutho at two.
And it feels like to me, Trell's the only sort of. I know it's not the time to grab him now, really, because he's going to go off to Origin for sure.
He's also nearly fucking $1 million.
He has been clear and away the anchor fullback that we should have had this year.
Yep. Yeah, and that was the thing. He was challenged about a month ago, and he really, really delivered. So that's them. Let's look at captaincy for the week. That was very loud. Captaincy, it's very boring, so we're going to run through some VC options. Turbo, obviously, for obvious reasons. Reece Walsh, I still think if you are opting to hold, he is probably still a fine VC option. Yep. As is the Panthers' right-hand side. I think Stephen Crichton and Brian Toto, both very, very warranted for VCs this week.
Yep. I don't mind all of that sort of chat. I'm probably leaning towards Turbo because I reckon we've already talked about what I think he's capable of doing, but I think that the Broncos will probably get the job done comfortably. Well, at least I think there's going to be a lot of fat there for
A lot of points.
Yep.
This reeks of a 34-28 kind of game.
Yep, and that's where I'd go for, for a VC personally, because I just don't think you can not captain Hines.
Now, for captaincy, I have written here, Nico Hines captain. If you don't own Nico Hines, delete your app. Redownload it, and probably put it on Manu.
Yeah, well, you can't not own Hines. He's on the most traded in list this week, so people didn't have him.
I think he has to score. So his lowest score this year is 89. I think I worked out he has to score 80 points to surpass $1 million. Only three people have done that so far. I think 2021 Turbo, 2021 Cleary, 2021 Pappenhausen. All three of those guys got to $1 million. We didn't see it at all last year, but yeah, if
well, Hines I mean, does I'm gonna again. I'm gonna send Nico a DM and say after a big Sharks win, if he wants to DM 8-0 for a bit of a wild night out, because he's a good looking rooster.
Could you imagine you and Nico on the fucking sauce,
mate? Nico, he would just be like, "What's this fucking old
he's
bloke?
Like, who is this bloke?"
It was the night of my fucking life. I'm sure he'd say it.
Absolutely, but yeah, look, I don't mind Manu as a captaincy shout. Obviously, Cleary, I'm very petrified not to captain Cleary this week. I think just the bounce back's incoming. But it's hard to go against the hot hands of Nico Hines.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleary does come out and top score it this week. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to stay on Hines. I don't think he'd get cute. He's going to be probably like 60% captain, don't you reckon?
Oh, mate, he was 40% vice captain and 28% straight captain last week. So 68% of people, and we know, just to put that into perspective, he didn't play for the first month. And that's sort of when everyone drops out, like all the quote-unquote casual players drop out. So it shows you how many engaged people were still captaining him. So absolutely ridiculous. Let's move into our trade talks. For myself, I am undecided on who to bring in out of the one option, but we're definitely going TPJ and William Warbrick. Not William Warbrick. William Warbrick, because I need it for the money. TPJ and William Warbrick in for Jared Croker, and then it's going to be one of DeBellin, Taniela Paseka, or... what's his name? Corey Horsbrough.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure. No, I wanted to lean to you for this. Like, Paseka is probably the safest of the three. He'll probably.
Yeah, I just don't rate him really.
Oh, he's very boring. He's 55 to 65. Like, there's
I'd go Horsburgh just because you're going to have a fun ride.
I just don't want him to. He's playing TPJ this week. I just feel like there's going to be a punch on him Magic Round.
Just smash him.
Oh, I wouldn't want to throw hands with Tavita. just quietly.
Tavita, he can throw.
If JDB was at 13, there's no debate. Yeah. I buy JDB. I know him playing 80, and I think I said this to you on Twitter. Like, you posted Corey Horsburgh, and I just thought if Corey Horsburgh was playing 70 and JDB's playing 80 and they both had the same PPM, I would go JDB. However, yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Horsburgh as well, but knowing my luck, Ricky's like, you know what? Now's the time to play Tarpany for 80 minutes and Corey Horsburgh can play 35. Fuck you. Yeah. Mate, what's going on? Why is Emre,
who's coming on the bench?
Why is Emre Gula playing big minutes? What's going on?
He's going all right. Let's not get into that. Let's get on to my trades.
Let's go into yours.
I am getting rid of Reece Walsh. I'm going to go to Gutho. I like Gutho's consistency. I think that now's the time to get him in with their run of games. I talked about that with you last week. And I'm getting rid of Hosking. I'd like to get rid of Warbrick, but I need the money to work for me. Look, I think Hosking's a bit mid. I mean, we know he had the hot start.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good matchup.
The Reed Marnie effect. Two good games. Everyone jumped on.
And there's no need to actually sell him because he's getting very serviceable scores.
Do you think he's a keeper?
No, I don't see him as
there's,
a keeper.
There's your answer.
I've sacrificed him. And I will probably sell Warbrick as well as when the money does work. But I've just looked at my pieces that are disposable and I see him as one. And I'm going to bring in Hopgood. Look, I don't know if the minutes that everyone saw last week and if I needed to get trades just to get players on the field and you know, I would have loved to have jumped on Hopgood once I heard the Matto news. Now Matto is back in, but I still think there's enough there for Hopgood to be a consistent scorer, and it'll be handy to you over those three buys. So Hosking, who only plays one of the buys and scoring sort of mids, and Hopgood, if he gets crap minutes, will score the same. But if he gets good minutes, he'll score better.
I've just realised I've gone from a Max King TPJ front row to a Tarpany Corey Horsburgh front row in the matter of a fortnight. Fuck, we're playing Ricky Roulette.
Up the milk.
You're
more of a milk fan than me. I've got Tuppany though.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's Hopgood, obviously the bench isn't fantastic, but let's Andrew Davey.
I mean, they're starting with Wiramu Greg, you know, so I don't think he's gonna play huge.
I think Wiramu Greg's gonna punch out a nice 25, do a really serviceable job, and then sit on the exercise bike for 55 minutes, champion.
Yep, so there's gonna be minutes and hopefully they give them to Matto and Hopgood.
Let's do some Q&As. Just want to give myself a pat on the back, which is a very rare occurrence. As you know, my ego is very much in check. Someone asked last week, who is the go-to fullback? And your boy said Gutho, so pretty happy with that.
We both said last week we're tempted to grab Gutho, and while he was scoring all those tries, I was just like, why do I tell people to do stuff that I never see?
I would have bought Gutho too, but then I realized that I would have had to play BMM at front row, and I was like, I'd rather not.
I was very tempted when Turbo was out to pull the trigger on it and just run BMM, you know, but I didn't do it, and I'm doing it this week. So, you know, but yeah, last week, if you did listen to us, good on you.
Zig Dog, regular contributor to these questions. Is trading out two cash cows practical? Or should we make... trading in two cash cows practical? Or should most trades be trying to achieve a downgrade to a cow and upgrade to a keeper or non-origin player at this time of the season? I'm always in the latter camp. I'm always a fan of after 8 rounds, a lot of your cash cows are fattened up. Let's cull one, bring another one in, and upgrade somewhere else. I'm a fan of that. However, I think this is being asked this week because obviously Buller has thrown some people's trade plans out the water. You're buying a cheapie that doesn't play around 13, but people are like, oh, fuck, it's a fullback at bottom dollar. It's just hard to pass up. And I can understand why.
People have got Peachy as well, and the Jared Croker is still cheap enough. So there's a few options in there, but I'm the same as you. I like to get the... I want to use the money that the cash cows make to just go back down to another one who obviously I'm hoping is going to become the next cash cow and then upgrade my middies to the premium pieces. So you want to get to your premium pieces as quickly as you can. So for me, keep your money making going. Yeah, of course. But we've seen like players who make 70, 80K in a week, or you've got get one of these slow burners that make 15 and 10, and then they lose five. You know, it's a longer process. So sometimes going fast cash might be your go. You know, if you go on a short term play on someone.
I just worry because I'm sure a lot of people have just max traded, and you're going to have to pull the trigger eventually and slow down soon. Normally this one's off the cuff as well. Normally I keep these questions exclusively to my Discord because it is a, you know, feature of it. However, Cody has asked a great question in the chat that I do want to address, and I'll put it to you. If I've become a little off JDB being named prop, is Jack Bird a better option at lock if you're looking for a 2RF? And I would say absolutely. I think Jack Bird at 13 is an absolute stud. Absolute.
Yep.
Absolutely. So just a nice quick one there, Cody, for you. Absolutely keen on Jack Bird at lock. The next question coming from the Discord comes from a regular contributor, Second Solution. Do you think rounds 14, 17, and 20 are going to be more damaging than the origin rounds? And for people that maybe aren't as informed, round 14, 17, and 20 are the rounds directly after the major buy rounds, yes, where we touched before, yep, where three teams are off. I think, yeah, they'll be very damaging, as we touched on.
I think they will too, because in those rounds, you don't get your top 13.
No, you have to field it. You have to field a 17, and that's what I was saying. Yeah, have a look at your major buy round numbers. That's fine. But, I mean, if someone plays 13 players and you play 12, it's not the end of the world. However, if you get to rounds 14 and you're playing 14, 15 people and two of them are Sonny Luke and Ben Medicilla and other people around you have better sides and you are fucked. Yeah.
So it's a really good question because, yes, they will be, because we lose the top 13. You know, and that's the thing. Don't get your numbers up to 16 in round 13, you know. Try to, you know, work it out so that you go as close. But 15 is fine because you've got, you know, you're going to have a couple of real shit ones and you hope that you got 13. You give yourself a couple of bites at the cherry with a couple of extra players. But you've got to map out your future, and people that just think it's all of these three major buys. There's a number of – and then they think also that because we've been doing one team on the buy, that there's not going to be other rounds where there's multiple teams on the buy. So round 14's not just going to be the Eels, who we'll all have been stacking up on. It's going to be others, and the other rounds as well are going to have multiples. So
that's the thing. Round 14's tough because Lachie Miller is owned by a fair few people. Tom Trbojevic, which is owned by Piles. I mean, Josh Schuster's out. Ruben Garrick's going to be out. Like, if you have three or four Parramatta players, yeah, you're staring down the barrel of seven or eight people out.
Yeah, so think about it.
Absolutely. I've just got a simple sticky note here with my trade plans for the next 4 weeks on it, and I just sort of update that as we go. But that is the questions done. Let's move into tipping because, last week was good for me. I'm just trying to quickly work out the ladder between the two of us. I got 5 out of 8 last week. I don't know what you got, but you are still ahead of me, regardless.
Yeah, I think I got. What was the one we went different?
I don't know. I'll pull it up as we're doing our tips. But the first game of the round 8-0 is the Bulldogs versus the Milk. I'm going to take Ricky's emotional man.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to take the Raiders because I'm fucked if I'm hanging around in Milton with all these fucking Doggies fans. Unless I can rub it into them, you know, that the Raiders win. Look, the Dogs need a big performance. They really do. But I think that the Raiders we've won a few on the trot now. You know, you see them all jumping around. I think the morale is improving in there. You know, let's hope Jack still plays. I mean, I don't know if he can do two in a row like that. But
no, see, what's going to happen every year, Jack Whiten just does things for 3 weeks in a row. And every year we go, oh, is Jack Whiten finally a buy? It happens every fucking year. Every year without fail, Jack Whiten puts two or three good performances together and then we all get sucked into it. It happens to me every Ado year.
Ado wants to be in town pulling his sausage out to Dogs fans going, oh, get into this hog, you fucks. I want to do some of that stuff, so I need the Raiders to win. I'm tipping the Raiders.
What about in the Manly Broncos game? This is a Manly home game in Suncorp. I'm going to take the Broncos here.
I'm taking the Broncos too.
What about the Waz versus the Sharkies?
They're up against Penrith, aren't they?
Oh, I've got the Riff here. Yeah, that's the Riff, not the
Riff.
Warriors versus Penrith.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Penrith Panthers in this one. They had a bad loss last week, and I think that's the worst thing for the Warriors.
Mate,
Penrith
are staring down three losses in a row, which hasn't happened for fucking yonks.
Statement game, in my opinion.
The Sharkies up against the Battle of the Finns, the Sharks versus the Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year at Magic Round, I was there with a whole bunch of Sharks fans and the Raiders rolled them. So I think that they need a win here at Suncorp, and I'm going to tip them to get the job done. Although there'll be more Dolphins fans in the crowd than Sharks fans.
I don't know what side Valens Tavade is going to be playing.
You know, the 150 Sharks fans, they're all criminals.
I'm not too sure what side Valens Tavade is going to be playing, but whoever is up against him, Talakai or Ramian, I think they're just going to fucking pepper him all game. All game. I'm going to take the Sharkies too.
Big units running at each other. I tell you, if it's Talakai and him,
yes.
I'm going to go the Sharks as well.
It's probably game of the round, I think it's fair to say. Storm's up against the Bunnies.
I'm going the Storm.
Oh, we haven't gone. I was going to say, is this where we go different? I've also taken the Storm.
Yeah, I think the Bunnies are in better form. If I'm looking at points bet, 69% people picking the Rabbitohs. I just reckon the Storm, they've got a nice peppering of big Queenslanders in their team. They love playing at Suncorp, so I reckon they're going to get the job done.
I think, I said this on Twitter, mate, if Melbourne played round 13, I would be moving heaven and earth to get Nelson Asifa Solomona. I think he's looking like a real, really good option. I think if we're going off power ranking, surely the Tigers are number one after beating back-to-back champs. They take on the St. George Dragons.
I'm going to tip the Tigers in this one.
Yeah,
I tipped the Tigers. Look, I tipped them. Oh, not officially. I tipped it on my crystal ball that the Tigers would win last week. I reckon the Dragons are in all sorts. I think that the Dragons have been playing okay as well, but hopefully that the Tigers build on that, because surely if you get to play that kind of footy that they played last week, that's better than what the Dragons are throwing up. So I hope that they build on that, and I'm going to tip the Tigers to get the job done.
I think this will be a very boring tipping round for you and I. I think we have the exact same eight. The Roosters up against the Cowboys. I've gone with Trent Robinson's men.
Yep, same.
Yep, and the Tits up against the Parramatta Eels.
Go on the Eels.
Yeah, we've gone the same eight, which is going to be very boring. I had a quick look. You're still five tips ahead of me. You've tipped 44 correctly. You have tipped 39, and that's not going to change this week, unfortunately. We both tipped the same card, so... great minds think alike, I guess you could put it.
I'm just going to maintain my lead. I'll just copy you every week now.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's going to be the Dual Position Podcast, round 10 preview done in the books. Magic round is here. Are we going to see Nathan Cleary masterclass? Is Turbo going to bounce back into some form?
Round. This is my magic round hat.
Oh, yes. Is Nico going to continue to do what he does best? We will soon find out. However, teams now are more replenished.
Tall blondes with big tits.
Teams are now more replenished than last week. But as always, if you've made it this far, thank you very much. Obviously, check out major sponsor of the show, Bet with Joel. The members have been absolutely killing it over there. But overall, mate, stay safe. Stay safe. You're going to have a fucking big weekend. I don't know if you're going to be back on the show. I might put an application out on Seek for a new co-host, because I don't know if Ado's going to make it back alive.
Oh, mate. It was by day three last week. I was Dusty, I got through two beers live at the game on Sunday all the games.
Lovely. Well, good to hear. Hopefully you come back safe and sound, mate, but have a wonderful, wonderful week. For my trades, yes, follow my socials. I'll post them when I decide.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.